once in a nurse home, send somebody in there, Father, to go in there and minister to your people. And we be so careful to give you all the praise, glory, and honor. In Jesus' precious name I pray, amen. Y'all come out and support our sister Trenice Benjamin, Pastor Trenice Benjamin. Come and support her. She on Bayou Rapids. Come out and support her. She's having a women's conference Saturday at 1 p.m. She having 7 speakers. Come out and support her because we got to support one another. Come out and support her. It's called Women Breaking Barriers. Come out and support her. And Father God, I pray for that conference right now in the name of Jesus. As the women of God get up and proclaim your word, my God, that you will move on that street right now in the name of Jesus. Father God, that you will touch and we begin all the praise and all the glory and all the honor in Jesus' name. Amen. Till we meet again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for tuning in today to the Getting to Know Him broadcast with Pastor Elvira Brevel of the Trinity Missionary Baptist Church of Alexandria, Louisiana. To correspond with Pastor Brevel or to send a love offering, go to $ShalondaNobles. That's $ShalondaNobles. Be sure to tune in for the next Getting to Know Him broadcast.
KAYT, Shreveport Greenwood, 92.5.
Welcome to the radio broadcast of Living Word Ministries, Living Word Ministries of Magazine. Stay tuned and focused, and let Words of Life minister to you by our pastor, Antonio Holden Sr. At the end of the broadcast, contact information will be given to you. Here's our pastor.
Amen. You have Ezekiel, the 37th chapter. We're going to read, well, we're just going to parade and peruse those first 14 verses. When you have it, I have the word. I'm ready to receive it. Verse 1 of chapter 37 of the book of Ezekiel. Very familiar passage. The hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley which was full of bones and caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. Again he said unto me, prophesy unto these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with the skin, and put breath in you, and ye shall live, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. Then said he unto me, prophesy unto the wind. Prophesy, son of man, and say unto the wind, thus say the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied, and he, as he commanded me, and the breath came unto them, and they lived, and stood up on their feet, an exceeding great army. And he said unto me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say our bones are dry, and our hope is lost. We are cut off for our parts. Therefore prophesy and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, behold, my people, O my people, I will open your graves, and cause you to come up out of your graves, and bring you and cause you to come, and ye shall know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up out of your graves, and shall put my spirit in you, and ye shall live, and I shall place you in your own land. Then shall ye know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, saith the Lord. Amen. Amen. May God of the blessing those hearers and doers of his word, the grass wither, the flower fade, but the word of God stands forever. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. I want to use this morning for a thought, a topic, a tag, a title to this particular message, a word of hope in a hopeless situation. A word of hope in a hopeless situation. Amen. Anybody need a word of hope this morning? Amen. When we look at hopelessness, when we think about hopelessness, it's some things that we experience in life and we say, you know what? There is no hope. Finally, we come to grips with some situations and we look at certain circumstances and we say, you know, we might as well give up and throw in the towel because this is not going to get better. The more I pray, the more I read, the more I go to church, the more I fast, the more I try to do the right thing, it seems like everything continues to get worse and worse. Amen? Sometimes we feel to the point that we feel that we are in this situation that what we see begins to affect us and we no longer believe that God wants to help us in this situation. You know, some of us, we look at our situation and we say we just give up because, you know, look like God never gonna heal me. It looks like God never going to deliver. Look like he just ain't going to get those children right. Look like he's never going to give me my husband or my wife. He's never going to give me my car, my job that I've been hoping for. He's not giving me that. And so we start to look at the situation and say, man, I feel pretty hopeless. When people are hopeless, they feel dejected. They feel demoralized, de-energized. They feel despondent. They feel desperate, and it seems like sometime our future begins to get dim and dark, and it seems that we have no hope, we have no light, we have a situation where it seems like we have no win or no opportunity to win. And so this was the case in Ezekiel's vision when he went into the valley of dry bones. The Bible says that the hand of the Lord was upon him and carried him in the spirit. Now, the first thing I want to point out is that Ezekiel, his name means he who God strengthened. And the things that Ezekiel experienced, he had to be strengthened by God because it was some things that he had to do that was really tough, some things that we couldn't do, some things that we couldn't encounter and we couldn't endure, some things that God, so for Ezekiel, he was told how to sleep. God told him to sleep a certain way. God told him to walk out and not have his clothes on right, amen, to show himself, amen. He had to do some hard things, and God had to what? Strengthen him. He had to use, he was told to cook his food, and he had to use animal dung and stuff like that. And you know, we couldn't do that. God would have to strengthen me to be able to do it, amen. But God strengthened Ezekiel because this was a time when his people, when he and his people were being attacked by the enemy and they were being taken captive by the enemy, and it seemed like all hope was lost because at one point they had it going on and now here it is, they don't have anything going on. But Ezekiel, God strengthened him enough to be able to prophesy, to be able to talk to the people of God. Amen. Let's go on here and look at this. So I won't be too long before you since I read so many verses. Amen. We look first at the problem here. The problem is that that they are in a valley of dry bones. He said the spirit took him in the valley and it caused him to pass by these bones. And guess what? He says they were very dry. In other words, not only were they just dry, not only did they dry out, he said they were so dry they were brittle. They had no strength and they had no structure. Amen. Sometimes our life is the same way. We have no strength. We have no structure in our life. And therefore, the enemy just has his way with us. Notice that he said that this valley was full of bones and they were very dry and they were scattered pretty much. And what we got to understand is that these bones, they were dry, they were scattered, they had no strength, they had no structure. And when you get bones that are scattered, you don't know where they're going. Ezekiel probably looked at this and said, really, there is no hope for this case. This is a hopeless case. And sometimes in our life, we have situations that seem to be hopeless cases. But we have to have faith in God. We have to trust in God that he's able. Now look at verse 3. And he said unto me, son of man, can these bones live? And I answered. Ezekiel gave the best answer. Ezekiel answered not by what he saw, but he answered by what he knew God was able to do. Preach, amen. We have to learn how to answer not by what we see, but we have to answer by what we know God is able to do. We have to not answer. The Bible tells us not to walk by what? Sight, but to walk by faith. He said we walk by faith and not by sight. And so I don't walk by what I see, because what I see could really get me down. What I see could really push me into depression. What I see can really make me say, you know what? I'm throwing in the towel. What I see could make me want to holler and throw up both my hands. What I see. But thanks be to God, I don't depend on what I see, but I'm depending on the ability that God has. Now, what ability does God have? God can do exceedingly and abundantly and above all we can ask or even think according to the power that works in us. Amen. Amen. And so if God has that kind of power, we need to trust in God that he's able to do the impossible. When I was young, they used to sing a song that God specializes in things that seem impossible. They used to say that I will never doubt him because I know too much about him. Amen. I know that he's real. And so here Ezekiel is, and God asked him a question. And you got to beware when God asks you a question. He already knows the answer, but he wants to see where your faith is. He wants to see what are you going to say about it. Because sometimes when we look at something and God say, what do you want to do? And we say, Lord, ain't nothing for us to do. But you know what? God said, just give it over to me. Cast your cares on me because I care for you. Come on and say amen here. But he asked Ezekiel, he said, can these bones live? And you know, God could have done it. He could have did it without Ezekiel saying a word. But God wants to get us involved in what he's doing. I want to be like Ezekiel. I want to be involved with whatever God is doing. Whatever you're doing in the season, Lord, don't do it without me. And he says, can these bones live? And Ezekiel says something. He said, oh, Lord God, thou knowest. Don't nobody know but God. Come on and say amen here. And you know what? Don't nobody know but God whether these bones can live, whether this situation can change, whether there will be a turnaround. But you know what else? Don't nobody know but God what you're going through. Don't nobody know but God how bad it is. There's nobody else that knows how bad you stay up all night, how much you have to grieve and cry, and how much you call on the Lord except God. And so since only God knows what he can do. God knows that he can deliver you. God knows that he can heal you. He can bring you back from where you are. Come on and say amen here. And he said unto me, son of man, these bones, can they live? And he said, God, you know that they can live. And again, he said unto me, prophesy. So since you say that they can, that I know, this is what I want you to do. The problem here is that a lot of times when God has something for us to do on our part to get things back in order, to give strength, to bring back structure, to rekindle, to revive, to resuscitate something in our life, we don't want to do our part. We want God to do it all. Come on and say amen. We don't want to pray. We just want God to do it. We don't want to trust. We want God to do it. We don't want to obey. We want God to just do it. Amen. It's not that he can't do it if we don't do all those things, but God wants us to be participating in what he's about to do. Oh, come on and say amen. And so something happened here before Isaiah got ready to prophesy. The problem was that the bones were very dry. They didn't have, this is what happened. This was not just a group of people. This was a great army. This was at some point an army that had power, that had the ability to have victory, conquer, that had the ability to be able to fight and do whatever. But something happened to this army to put this army in the place that it was in, to the point that it was dead and very dry. Now, who did it? It does not say. How it happened, the Bible does not say. But you know what that means? That means that whoever's doing what they're doing in your life, it doesn't matter. However it happened to you, it doesn't matter to God. That's what God is showing us in the scripture. It doesn't matter what they said, when they said it, how they did it, how they tried to dog you, how they tried to put you down, how they tried to bring your character to a low, how they tried to destroy what God had placed in your life. It does not matter who it is, what they've done, and how hard it is, but what matters is, can these bones live? Can God put this back together again? Can God restore again? Can God make things happen in your life again? Can you breathe again? Can you live again? That's all that matters. It doesn't matter who did it, but what matters is who's going to do it now. Who's going to do this? Who's going to heal me? Who's going to deliver me? Who's going to set me back up on my feet? I'll come on and say, man. So he says to him, there's a problem, but I need you to prophesy. I need you to prophesy. And so when he says that in verse 4, he said to me, prophesy unto these bones and say to them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. He didn't say, hear what I got to say. He didn't say, hear motivational speech. He didn't say, hear a good speech that was drawn up by some really smart preacher. And he didn't say that. He said, just listen to my word. Hear the word of the Lord. And in verse 5, he says, thus said the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter unto you, and ye shall live. I will lay sinews upon you. Now, I noticed something here that as I got to reading this, look at what Ezekiel began to do. He began to prophesy the last thing that's going to happen first. Wow. Why did he begin to say the last thing that was going to happen first? Because the last thing that they got was breath. Amen. The reason why is because he already knew the end result because of what God said. When God says something, God, the Bible says he knows the end at the beginning. Jeremiah, before you were even forming your mother's womb, already knew that you were going to be a prophet to the nations. I wish I had somebody. God knows the end at the beginning of whatever situation happens. So guess what? Whenever you're about to get lied on, God knows how you're going to come out in truth. Whenever they're about to tear you down, guess what? God knows how you're going to be picked back up. Whenever you're about to get into some sickness, God knows exactly how he's going to get you healed. Whenever you're about to get torn up, broken down, whenever you're about to be attacked, God already knows that you got the victory before it all starts. God already knows it. God already knows it. So he began to say the end thing at the beginning. He said, and you're going to breathe again. And here it was. He's talking to a bunch of bones who don't even have skin, don't even have lungs. Come on and say, man, these bones don't have lungs. How are you going to breathe? This bone don't have a nose. How are you going to breathe again? Well, because God said it. That's how you're going to do it. I don't know how you're going to get through your trouble, but I do know that God said you're going to make it through. I don't know how you're going to look at this hopeless situation and make it, but I want to give you a word of hope in the midst of hopelessness that God said that you're going to make it. Come on and say, man, here. Oh, yeah, we need to understand here that there are some things that we're going to go through, but God has already given us victory. Amen. We have to make it mandatory to hear the word of God. What God is saying about my situation. What did he say about my sickness? He said that with the stripes of Jesus, I'm healed. afflicted. What did he say about my affliction? He said, you may be afflicted. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord will deliver him from them all. What did he say about the weapons that's formed against me? He said, no weapon that's formed against you shall prosper. What did God say about being in the valley? He said, yea, though you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you don't have to fear evil because I'm right there with y'all. Y'all not here this morning. I think I'm in here by myself. But I'm going to prophesy to these bones and live. You're going to breathe. Hallelujah. He said that you're going to breathe and breath shall enter into you and you'll live. And I'll lay sinews on you. Breath shall enter into you and you'll live with skin and put breath in you. And you shall live and know that I am the Lord. Why is it that God brought the prophet so that, to this place where it seemed to be hopelessness? Because he wanted them to know that he was the Lord. He wanted them to know that you've been looking at everybody else and everything else. You tried it all. You've done it all. You've done exactly what the doctor said. You've done exactly what the people said. You've done exactly what your sister and your mama and them said. But I want you to do what I say. Come on. I want to show you that I am the Lord. Amen. I want to prove to you that I'm strong enough to handle any situation. See, the Bible declares to us that when it gets down to the bare, down to the worst, God shows up and he shows out. The Bible declares that. The Bible tells us that Paul prayed unto the Lord. He said three times. He went 1, 2, 3. Said, Lord, move this thorn from my flesh. But God didn't say anything until the third time. He said, but my grace is, come on and say, man, my grace is sufficient unto you and my strength is made perfect where you're weak. Sometimes God allows us to weaken to a point that we can't help ourselves so that we can depend on his grace. And I'm not talking about the unmerited favor. I'm talking about the enabling power of his grace. He enables you to do stuff that you couldn't do on your own. He enables you to do stuff that's beyond your intellect and your understanding. That's why he said he'll give me joy unspeakable. I can't tell you how he did it, but I know he did. Oh, come on and say, man, he said he'll give you a peace that surpasses all. I'm in this situation. Yeah, my bones are dry. Matter of fact, they've been detached from one another. You can't see how this mess is going to work out. I can't see how it's going to work out. But what I do know is that the Lord is on my side and he'll give me a peace that surpasses all understanding. And I don't understand how it's going to work this morning. But what I do know is if I prophesy into the bones that are dead in the valley, the bones are at this lowest point, I'm going to get them to a place where they can live. You're in the valley. You're in your lowest point. You've been shaken. You've been broken. You've been, oh, come on and say, man, you've been separated from your bone. You know, when you have a separation, anytime there's a separation, that's a bad thing because it seemed like then it won't be able to come back together again. But when we look at the separation, don't worry because God, he can put us back together again. God can put us back to where we need to be. Don't look at how dry it is because God will give the moisture of the Holy Spirit to bring us back to where we need to be. Come on and say hallelujah. But he also said in verse number 6, he says, and sinews will cover you in flesh. He began to tell them that all of this is going to happen. He began to tell them what's going to happen to you. He began to let them know how it was going to happen. It's just going to happen. God is going to do it. He said, I'm prophesying to let you know that not only will you have breath in your body, but you're going to get all your muscles back. Oh, come on and say, man, what is he saying? He's saying, look, I'm trying to get you back to a place. You're going to get your structure back because that's the whole skeleton. The skeleton is the structure of your body. He said you're going to get some structure back in your life, and then he said the sinews, the skin, the muscles, he said then you're going to get some strength back in your life. You see, some of us, we've lost our strength. Some of us, we lost our structure. We can't stand for nothing. We're laying in the valley just waiting on somebody to come and prophesy. Well, here I am. I'm your Ezekiel this morning, come to let you know that you're not going to stay where you are. Your valley, come on and say, man, look, your condition is not your conclusion this morning, but God says that here's a word for you, that he's going to pick you up out of the valley. He's going to give you strength back in your arms, back in your legs. He's going to give you the ability to breathe again. He's going to resuscitate you and resurrect you back to where you used to. I wish I had some. He says in verse 7, and I prophesied as I was commanded. That's all I come to do. And as I prophesied, there was a noise. And a behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. He said, when I began to speak, there was a noise. The bones began to do something. And we have to be able to see this in the text today, that when I speak, you ought to be able to start shaking. You ought to make some noise. If you're a bone in the valley, you ought to make some noise. You ought to say, I'm not going to sit still. I've been still long enough. Still is what got me in the valley. Still is what made me dry. Still is what caused my pain. Still is what got me where I am today. So I'm not going to stand still and let the devil have his way, but I'm going to shake the devil off. Oh, hallelujah. Do I have anybody this morning that say, I'm going to shake. I'm not going to sit still and just dry up. I'm just going to begin to shake this devil off. The devil thought he had me, but I shook. And come on and say amen here. Oh, yeah, I shook that devil off. We can't let him latch on it. We can't let him have his way. I may be in the valley, but I ain't got to die here. I may be in the valley, but it's not my place to stay. I'm going to get out of this place. I'm going to come out of the valley, and I'm not going to come out like I was. I'm coming out exceedingly great. I'm coming out stronger than I was. I'm coming out with more wind to be able to endure hardness as a good soldier. I'm not there yet. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, he said, I begin to talk to the bones. Now, don't it seem crazy for a man to be talking to bones that seem like ain't no life in them? It seems crazy for a man to talk to a valley of dry bones, and it seem like it ain't nothing going on with the bones. But you know, the Bible declares that the foolishness of preaching is to confound the wise. See, I don't know how it works, but it's something about when we get preached to, it gives me an energy. Something about being preached to make me feel like I can run on, because I know what the end's gonna be. When I'm getting preached to, it make me feel like I can leap over a mountain and run through a troop. It's something about being preached to. It said, make me feel like I'm redeemed. It make me say, let the poor say I'm rich, and let the weak say I'm strong. I don't care what's going on in my life. When I get preached to right, I feel like I'm on top. I wish I had somebody here that say, I'm going to be your Ezekiel. Oh, come on and say amen here. Tell your neighbor, say neighbor, you're looking at Ezekiel. I want to encourage you to know that God said you're not staying here. Come on, talk to your neighbor. Say, oh neighbor, you're going to breathe again. You're going to walk again. You're going to battle again. You're going to fight again. Oh, come on and shout yes. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. Glory to his name. When I look at what he says in verse 9, he said, then he said unto me, well, let's go back to verse 8. He said, and I behold, lo, the sinews and the flesh came, and it covered them. He said, but there was no breath in them. Now, sometimes when you're preaching, you may not see the last thing that you said first. You may not see that thing come to pass right off. You may see God doing some other stuff. And you're saying, God, you told me first you was going to put breath in them. But here they are. They ain't got no breath. And so God said one more time. He said, I need you to prophesy. Now this time, don't prophesy to the people. You prophesy in the environment. You begin to change the atmosphere. Begin to talk to the things around you. Because if I tell you to say it, I created the wind. And the wind has to obey. Oh, come on and say amen here. If I tell you to talk it, they're going to know that it is my word and not your word. Do I have any witnesses here? Has anybody said the word of God lately? Have you showed up on your job where the devil works and said, today the devil, you can't have your way because I speak in the atmosphere that God is in the place, that God is going to have his way. Has anybody ever walked up where you know you got some trouble and say, it's going to be all right, because God told me that everything I go through, through is working for my good. The dryness that you feel is working for your good. The separation that you had is working for your good. The stuff that you encountered in the valley is working for your good, because God didn't forget about you. He sent Ezekiel down in the valley to let you know you shall live once again. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. Verse 9 says, then he said unto me, he said, prophesy to the wind. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, the Lord, that the Lord God said, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon the slain that they may live. Now the word breath, or the word wind here, and the word breath here,